again at the foot of the cross today. We're excited about what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Thinking about a kingdom mission. You know, really, that's where we are. We are at the foot of the cross. And this is exciting. But one of the questions is, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Let me say that in a little slower. What do you do when you don't know what to do? I think that was what happened with the children, with these ladies. And we're going to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 20. And we're going to be thinking about what to do and really do the only thing you know to do. Let me give you the background. Background is Jesus Christ loving us, coming to this world, going to the cross, dying on the cross, buried in the grave. 3 days. Soldiers on Saturday begin standing before the tomb, standing there to protect nobody out, that nobody could come in. But the problem was, who's going to go out? The disciples. What were they thinking about? Here they were for 3 years. They had given their total life over to Jesus to walk and talk with Him. But now, He's dead. What do you do when you don't know what to do? The ladies, 3 ladies, Mary, 2 Marys, maybe more, on the night that Jesus was buried, placed in the tomb, they followed at a distance. They went up there. They saw exactly where Jesus was laid. But now, the day is closing, the Sabbath's beginning. They couldn't go there. So at the foot of the cross, they watched Jesus go, buried in the grave. Now, what do you do? What do you do? When you begin to think about this, what can we do? I go back to July the 3rd, 2002, the evening before the 4th. My dad was about to leave this world. My responsibility was to give him the meds, help him feel comfortable until he passes from this world to the next world. All of a sudden, we go through the night. The day dawns. The angel comes. Dad goes home. What are we to do? What are we to do? Just a few hours ago, George Stacy, the angels came, took him home, and his grandson, in the course of tears, said these words to his wife. He said, "Today, this is what it's all about." What do you do? What do you do when you don't know what to do? In reality, you do the only thing you know to do. And how is that? So the women, they got together in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week dawned, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb." But now when they came to see the tomb, what were they looking for? Were they looking for a live Lord Jesus? No. They were looking for a quiet body that had been washed several times, that had been wrapped in linen cloth, that had a face covered with a cloth. They were looking for a body. That's what they were looking for. But as they begin to approach this moment right here, what are we looking for? What can you do? What are we looking for? Did they look for Jesus to be in that tomb? Yes, they did. You know, there's some questions that I've got to ask one day. When we get to heaven, I want to ask those disciples, why didn't you believe Jesus? Jesus told you several times, "I'm coming, I'm coming." I always remember about this woman who was sitting on the front row. You got on the front row, brother. I may not ever get you there again, but I'm glad you're there. But anyhow, this woman was on the front row, and the preacher was preaching along, and he was saying, "I'm coming," and he forgot what to say. And he walked to the other side, and he said, "I'm coming," and he forgot what to say. And all of a sudden, he said, "I'm coming," and he hit it, and he tripped over, and he fell, and his face went right in the lap of this woman who was sitting on the front row. And he got up and said, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And she says, "That's okay. You told me 3 times you were coming." You know, he's coming. But what do? These women, they did the only thing they knew to do. They took some spices and they were going to Jesus and they were going to anoint his body. Well, there was a mission before him. And when you understand this, Psalm 30 verse 5 says, "For his anger endureth but for a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." He was coming. Joy is coming. They knew the place. They knew the purpose. They were going to put spices on a lifeless body. They knew the time. It was going to be early in the morning. They knew the struggle that was before them because there was this huge stone. And they said, "Who's going to move it?" With the strength of several women, they said, "We can't do that. Who's going to move the stone away?" As they approached it, no matter what the struggle was, they went there and they were prepared to do whatever it took to get to that body of Christ to show respect. They did the only thing they knew they could do. Take spices. That's important to remember, though. When you don't know what to do, do the only thing you know to do. Because that leads us to the second verse. And it says, "And behold," in verse 2, Matthew 28, verse 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing is white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and quickly go and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Oh, you can see the excitement. One angel came on a mission from God. And when you're on a mission from God, you're to do only one thing, and that is whatever God tells you to do. And that's where they begin to strengthen up. God surrounds his message. He has one message, by the way. What was that one message? You're going to see him. Don't let that get out of your mind. You're going to see him. You're going to see him. Don't let that lose your mind. Because you see, God's work around him, he prepared it. How did he do this? The earthquake. The ground shook. How did he do this? The angel came. How did he do this? He removed and rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, but to let others look in. And so the ground shook. The angel was in position. And the guards, they trembled for fear, and they were like dead men. They were paralyzed. But they didn't move. They were paralyzed with fear. They couldn't run. They couldn't speak. They couldn't say anything. But they were there. They saw what was happening with their mind. They knew what was going on. But they couldn't do anything about it because fear had overcome them. God surrounds his message. And when he delivers it, he surrounds it with a promise. He is not here. He's risen, just like he told you. God validates his message. And he gives us proof before us. And then he tells us the purpose. He says, "Look, don't delay. Time is of the essence. Jesus is risen. Go and tell them." Leave quickly. Go and tell them. The scripture says, and they took off running. Psalm 126 verses 5 and 6 says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing and bring his sheaves with him." What are we supposed to do when we don't know what to do? Do the only thing that you know to do. And when you do the only thing that you know to do, then all of a sudden you're going to go and you're going to go in the presence. And then when God tells you to do something, you do it, even with fear and trembling, you do it. And then you're going to be positioned. Look in verse 8. The scripture says, "So they went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples' words. And as they went, his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice!' So they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, And there they will see me. What was the message? There they will see me. There they will see me. These three women now were transformed, not from weeping willows, but to courageous spokespeople. These women were what? Women's. Oh, well, anyhow. These women, they were wired, folks. They were ready to share. Nobody could stop them. These men couldn't speak them down. They were fired up. And they took off running. So, when you're on a kingdom mission, a couple of things are going to happen. You're going to have fear and joy. And fear and joy are going to join hands to deliver a message. What did the angel say to them? Don't be afraid. Go and tell. What did Jesus? All of a sudden, look at Jesus. And Jesus met them saying, rejoice. And that word rejoice, you could say, don't be afraid, but go and tell. That's what's happening. Three marks of the kingdom. If you think about it, do you ever have an element of fear when you're trying to share with somebody about the good news of Jesus? That's okay. Do you have an inner joy when you want to share with somebody the good news of Jesus? That's okay, because fear and joy marry together to join into a mission. And that mission is to proclaim and let the word out. Come and see Him. Oh, folks, with fear and great joy, they did run. But on the way, they met Jesus. Now, kind of the interesting thing that happens. When you lock into the mission, I'm talking about a kingdom mission, and you do what you know to do. That's all you know to do. You just do what you know to do. They thought spices. You do what you know to do, God's going to deliver a message to you. And then when God delivers a message to you, all you have to do is speak it. That's all the angel said, go and tell. And when he tells them all you want to do is go and tell, then all of a sudden when you take off with that message, guess who you're going to meet? You're going to meet Jesus. You're going to meet Jesus. And when you meet Jesus, what's going to happen is He is going to deliver to you the same message as the angels. The angel said, go, you're going to see Him. Jesus said, go tell the disciples, I'm going to see them. I'm coming. Remember those words now. You'll see me. You'll see me. So all of a sudden, now the picture begins to develop. These women are transformed on a mission. And when your kingdom, mission, fear, and joy join hands to deliver the message, all of a sudden, in that journey, you're going to see Him. But wait a minute. Let me fast forward to Jude 1:14 and 15. And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of His saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all of their ungodly, among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierce Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Hey, capture two things. Jude, hundreds of years before Christ said, hey, not hundreds, I'm sorry, in the lifetimes of Christ, Jude said, He's coming. Revelation chapter 1 says, He's coming. You're going to see Him. Now, if I were to ask you a question, do you expect to see Jesus today? No, okay, all right. July, I'm going back to July the 3rd. No, I'm carrying you to July the 4th, 2002. My dad went to see the angels, went to meet the Lord. But what would have happened if all of a sudden somebody walked up and said, hey, Robert, I saw your dad in town. Should I believe him? I mean, what would you do? If you had a loved one who's already departed, and then all of a sudden somebody walks up to you and said, hey, look, I saw them in town. They walk around talking to people. Probably I'd have gotten that old Dodge and fired her up and spun out and said, where did you see him? I want to go find him. Or would I just sit back and said, you must have seen somebody that looked like him. If I told you that Jesus Christ, by the way, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, And people who were in the grave, in the tombs, got up and walked out of the tombs and walked into the cities. And he was, and they were seen by, Scripture says, many people. Boy, what a day. Now, what I believe in, they saw my dad. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you might see Jesus today? Today. Now, if somebody tells you, go find Jesus, he's out in Texas, don't go. If somebody says, go over to Russia, don't go. If somebody even tells you, go to Jerusalem, Jesus is there, don't go. Because he says there's going to be many false prophets going to come out and say, lo, here's the Christ, lo, there. Don't believe it. But he says he's coming. And when he comes, he's coming in the clouds. And when he comes, he's coming in power and glory. And when he comes, he's coming with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming. But now, he's coming. He's coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? All of a sudden now the plan begins to develop. Now these women, they're so fired up, they can't hardly stand it. They got a kingdom message. They're running headstrong as fast as they can to find the disciples. And along the way, realize there's obstacles. Verse 11. The Scripture says, verse 11, it says, now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all the things that had happened. When they assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them large sums of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews even to this day. Along the way, two soldiers chose a mission of deception. When you're on the king's mission, you need to realize this, you're going to have obstacles. And then when you have these obstacles, you're going to have a choice to make. And here's the choice. A group of women said, we've seen him. A small group of men at the front of it said, we've seen him. Later on, 500 people are going to see the Lord Jesus. There are going to be people in the city who said, we saw the dead walking around after Christ was raised from death. We saw it with our own eyes. Now the question is, who are you going to believe? You're always going to have an obstacle. You're going to have the logical thinking Roman guard, the authority of the government, the Roman government, and they're going to say, oh, they stole him away under the authority of the government. Or you're going to believe he is truly risen as he said. Obstacles are going to come along. Which way are we going to choose? Are we going to choose the truth? Are we going to choose error? And by the way, there are a lot of men who are selling out their souls to the devil for a lie. There are a lot of men who will tell you anything for the dollar. And so that's what happened here. These soldiers sold their souls to the devil. Frozen, they saw it, they knew the truth. But then after this, these obstacles are overcome. Verses 16 and 17 kicks in when he said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 11 disciples were set out on a mission, but this was going to be a lasting mission. Because when you join up, you lift up Jesus and you put doubt down. Got it? When you join up, you lift up Jesus and you put doubt down. Now all of a sudden, here's 10 guys you've walked with for 3 years. These 10 guys told you Jesus is risen. Would you believe that? Here's a group of women who said, we saw an angel, we saw the Lord, he is risen. Would you believe that? Here's two men on the road to Emmaus who talked with Jesus. Would you believe them? Would you believe their witness? Would you this morning believe he is alive and he's coming? Some of you will say, yes, I believe. But some of you will doubt even as Thomas. But the good news is Thomas. Thomas. Thomas says to Simon Peter, I don't care if you say you saw him. I'm not going to believe unless I see him with my own eyes, put my hands in the nail-scarred hand and reach my hand into his side. I'm just not going to believe. And some doubt it. Because you see, some people need more proof than others. What about you this morning? Will you believe without having seen? Will you believe the words, he's coming? Jesus said, I'm coming. And Jesus said to the disciples, you will see him. Folks, you will see him. 8 days later, behind closed doors locked, all of a sudden, Jesus appears. How does he appear? I don't know if he walked through the wall. I don't know if he came through the roof. All I know is this. There he is. There he is. How can that happen? If you've ever deer hunted, you'll understand this. You can be watching for deer all morning long, and all of a sudden you turn your head and you look back, and there's the deer. Where did he come from? I don't know. All of a sudden that deer just popped up out of the ground. Well, this is what I do know. I do know that Jesus was there, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared and he said, Thomas, he must have appeared close to him. Take your hand, buddy. Put it right here. Take your hand, Thomas. Put it right here. Oh, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe and have not seen. But you've seen. Today, that blessing is still hovering over this congregation. You believe, even though you haven't seen the nail scar, the open side. When you join up, lift up Jesus and put doubt down. Because when you do that, you'll receive this great commission. And this great commission says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So what we see right here, where does that leave us today? It leaves us with a moment to join up and join in on a kingdom mission. And this great mission is this. When you're kingdom minded, the great commission is fueled by a great commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, can you actually love one another as Christ loved you? The answer is yes. Why? Because you've got the provision. The provision is this. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth. You've got the power. Not only do you have the provision to love, but you've got the procedure. The procedure is very simple. Go make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. Teach them all things. You've got it. You've got it. It's been around for quite a while, and you say, well, I can't do that. Well, listen. If you're in a household, and at breakfast time, you pull out a scripture and you read on the front side of that scripture a blessing from God, a scripture, and then you turn around on the back side of that card and you read a prayer. You're beginning to bring things together of this great love right here. You're beginning to bring this message right here. He said, go make disciples. Where? Go to all nations. Do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father. Teach them the Word. Teach them all things. And teach them with confidence because He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to sign up? Are you ready to join up? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to teach? Are you ready to baptize or be baptized? Are you ready to teach all the things? Are you ready to experience the presence of God? Lo, I will be with you. And folks, He will speak to you, and He will speak to you specifically. This past week, I concluded a 40-day fast with the Lord. That 40-day fast was this for me, that I didn't eat during the daylight hours. No Coca-Colas or soft drinks, and no TV for 40 days. I don't know about y'all, but That's withdrawals, okay? All right? And so that no Dr. Peppers, no Mountain Dews, no Sprites. I mean, for 40 days. And all of a sudden, you know, I went in there because I had four items that I wanted to be praying about. But that wasn't what God was trying to teach me. On the 40th day, I sat at the computer. And I translated. Y'all remember we were working on Highway to Heaven? Okay? On the 40th day, I sat down at the computer and I translated with the help of the computer the verses of taking the Highway to Heaven and putting it in Spanish. And then all of a sudden, God said, here is the answer to your prayer. Because you see, I've been praying to God, God, I want to go overseas on a foreign mission, but God, I don't want to go unless you give me a message. I've been, there's been times that I've gone, and I didn't have a special message from God. I said, I told God I wanted to go, but I wanted a message. And on the 40th day of the fast, God made it very evident. Here it is. Ms. Roxanne has helped me translate it, putting it both in Spanish and Creole now. So therefore, we'll be able to share when we go to the Dominican Republic and into Haiti. We'll be able to share in the language of the people. So what are you saying? I'm saying when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. Go. And as you go, God's going to give you a message. And then when God gives you a message, He's going to fire you up. And on your journey, He is going to appear to you. And when He appears to you, all of a sudden you're going to realize that in this journey it's not always easy and there's going to be obstacles. But you are going to be given the power and the authority to overcome those obstacles to deliver the message to the people who are around us. And here's the message. I'm coming. You'll see me. I'm coming. You'll see me. And then there's going to be two groups of people there. One group are going to be those with the Roman soldiers who said this. They're going to say, his disciples stole him away. They're following their leader. The Bible says Satan is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning, and they're following their leader. There's going to be one group over here, the Satan followers. And then there's going to be another group over here who said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to tell you what I know. He's coming. I believe him. He's alive and he's living today. Which group do you fall in? Which group? Can you believe? Can you honestly believe? Now, remember, Thomas was one of the 12. He doubted. But there came a point in time and life he quit doubting. And he says, I believe. Jesus, my Lord and my God. Can you say this morning, Jesus, my Lord and my God. He rose from the dead. He lives today. And he's coming again. Which one? Which category will you be? Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come thanking you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, with the message that you are telling us today, I will see you in the morning. I will see you. You will see me. Father, when we see you, help us to see you as our Savior, not as our Lord, not as our judge. So, Lord, as we gather in this moment, on this Easter day, we celebrate Jesus Christ. And what he did on the cross, what he did in the grave, and how he rose from it. And he's alive today at the right hand of God the Father. We celebrate Jesus. And now, Father, I'm praying that every person in this room right here will accept a kingdom mission to go and tell. For those who don't know you, may they say now, I repent of my sins and believe. And for those who do know you, may they get fired up as these women who were approached by the angel, who were approached by Jesus, and would not let anybody stop them from delivering the message. Lord, let us deliver the message. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The message for you today is this. I'm coming. I'm coming. Are you ready to see him? If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come up here and say, Brother Robert, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. And I'll lead you in the conversation beyond that. I want Jesus. Some of you might be saying this morning, today's Easter. We're celebrating the resurrected Christ. But today, I want to join in. I want to put doubt down and I want to put Jesus up. Maybe you want to go to these altars and say, Lord, I'm ready to lift up Jesus. Others might want to join this church. We encourage that. We encourage you to come and be a part of this body. What is God telling you? How do you join the church? Well, come down and I'm going to ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you been baptized? That's basically all I'm going to ask you. And then I'm going to tell you, we got a training session down the road. We'll get in together. But what about you? ready to join up. Ready to join up. Well, now's a good time. Easter Sunday morning. Let's stand together and sing. It's people to